The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Remember, backed by Morse, that's their price protection promise. See dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, want to save money on a new Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. Our good friend Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira and I love to go see him. Right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS sedan for just $279 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, we'll match it or refund you $500. That's the price protection promise from Ed Morris. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Happy Tuesday, April 16th on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Of course, as you heard, we're presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, our good friends there. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here, and the sage, Mr. Kaufman, we are at One Buck Palace, back doing our thing. It feels good to be back, and you know what? We've also got a special guest for this podcast, which, of course, everybody's seen the headline already. We'll introduce him later. Ira, how you doing, and how does it feel to be back?
I'm doing well. You know, six words sum it up, Lee, as we pass through the gates of One Buck Place. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town, which I believe is a song towards the end of 48 Hours, which was a hell of a movie back with Eddie Murphy. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
I saw that one.
Of course, Lee doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I know the movie. I've never seen it.
Very good movie.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. And
the
villain in that movie was tremendous. The villain. And you need good villains in a movie like that.
And who was the band? I know who the band was.
The Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, I was thinking the Guess Who.
No. Forget the guest, too.
Anyway. That song we're talking about, The Boys Are Back in Town, or is that Thin Lizzy?
That might be Thin Lizzy. Okay. But anyway, what we mean is the Bucks have gathered. 15 weeks have gone by, gentlemen. 15 weeks since the wreckage of the 2017 season. The wreckage. And on Monday, we got to talk, you know, and it was a powerful group. You got Jameis Winston, DeSean Jackson, Ali Marpet.
A-list.
A-list of offensive players. You know, Thursday we get Jason Light and maybe a defensive player. Could be McCoy. Could be Levante David. You never know. I don't think they'll drag Vernon Hargraves out in front of the firing squad on Thursday. But we'll see. You know, look, we might as well get the little elephant out of this room quickly, Steve. Asked and answered. Jameis, have you been interviewed regarding the NFL investigation into the alleged Uber incident? Answer, no. Lee, I'll tee it up for you.
Uh-oh.
4 months later, Jameis Winston has not been interviewed. That tells me this probe has gone nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah. When you appeared on Mike Florio's show, Pro Football Talk, 3 weeks ago, right before the owners' meeting, about a week before the owners' meeting.
He wanted to ask me about JPP, and I flipped the switch,
yeah,
the script on him, Lily.
That's why he loves you on there. He said at the time, and I think it rings even more true today, after, you know, we just talked to Jameis. Florio said the NFL, if they wanted this over with, it'd be over with. The NFL, for whatever reason, the NFL is not motivated to have this completed, wrapped up, sealed, signed, and delivered. And it just basically comes to that. And Florio also suggested that that same appearance of yours, in their eyes, is not a legal issue. It's a PR issue. And so they're trying to get their ducks in a row for whatever way Goodell decides. And I still think James is going to be sitting a couple games just because of Goodell's history.
Steve, one thing I think we all have to agree on is regardless of this thing hanging over his head and how much it's affecting him and how much he thinks about it, Steve, it's obvious. Jameis Winston's passion for football is overwhelming. You know, I've been at this for 40 years. I've rarely come across an athlete with this kind of enthusiasm, excitement. It's not fake, Steve. I mean, the naysayers that say it's a big ruse. That's crazy, Steve. We've been around this guy for 4 years. It's very infectious, being around this guy. There's no question about it. His enthusiasm just bubbles over. I know you love to disagree with me, Steve. Can you?
No, I agree with you, but I'm going to temper two things that you said. Ira, maybe you'd call it pouring cold water on it. I don't know. But look, you've been around a lot of number one picks in the NFL draft. Aren't they all enthusiastic, incredible types of magnetic
people? Yeah, and that ran out for Jamarcus Russell after about 3 weeks.
And Bo Jackson?
In the NFL.
He wasn't so happy.
Don't piss on Jameis's passion.
I'm not. I'm just saying that he should be. He should. I'm not going to give him high marks for being passionate. He's an exciting guy, and that's why so many fans are in his corner. All right, Ira, fanretreat.com. Fanretreat.com. That's your official Joe Bucks fan home for Lightning tickets, for Bucks tickets. Use your Joe Bucks fan code for a great discount. Shop there just like you would at a StubHub or somewhere else. They've got all the events, all the tickets, but you can also book your hotels. You can book your travel. You can book your plane fare. One-stop shop at fanretreat.com. They've got a lot of changes coming that are really exciting. We know about them.
That's our man, Sean.
That's our man. We saw him behind the scenes. They're coming very soon. But still, fanretreat.com is there for you to get all your stuff done. And, of course, they'll be hosting and sponsoring and leading our trips with you on the road. Can't wait for that schedule to come out. The commish is probably going to be joining in.
If the first one's very successful, Steve, we might have more than one. I mean, you never know.
We'll see if there's enough beet salads to feed all these people. I don't know.
I'm excited about it.
Fanretreat.com. Check it out. Fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. We love them over there. We're so excited for what's coming. People don't even know.
We're gonna make up for last year's Miami wipeout. We'll make up for it with an even better show.
Ira, let me put it this way. Today, when the question was asked of Jameis Winston, it was asked very simply, the NFL has not talked to you yet about the investigation, correct? And Jameis' answer was no. Now, in my world, I don't know what that means, Ira, especially in the fuzzy math world of the NFL, where things are not always as they appear. Somebody says correct, and he says no. I don't know what that means.
It can be fuzzy, Steve, open to interpretation. But, Lee, there are members of the Buck organization, people that work in this building.
I hear
who
you.
Who seem to think that it was unequivocal and that, in fact, he has not been talked to by NFL people, and that's kind of the way that's kind of the vibe I got.
I agree with Steve. Like, wait, what's going on here? Now, I did ask, and you were there, Ira. I did ask a member of the Buccaneers communications department, and I asked him about that. I said, what did he say no about? Did he say no, you're not correct, or did he say no, I wasn't spoken to, or I haven't spoken with the NFL? And the person in the communications department said his impression of the answer was, no, I haven't been interviewed. We don't know that 100%.
Right. So I just wanted to put it out there. Our impressions are not facts. Plus, I'll just throw it out there.
It's a jump to conclusion.
The word talk, maybe Jameis didn't talk to anybody. Doesn't mean he didn't submit a 500-word written statement and answer questions via email or through his agent. So it's all very fuzzy.
Maybe my buddy Roger Goodell will tell him if I can get him on a phone line, maybe we can get some clarification.
There you go. Statement. It's all very fuzzy. I don't want anyone to think there's some clarity to it. It all stinks because here we are, Ira, as you wrote. If we do some addition on your column, we're like 156 days later. Everybody's got, you know, I'm not going to be rude, so I won't say what I was going to say.
Speaking of clarity, last week the Bucks brought in a left tackle from Notre Dame. I'm like, what's going on here? Left tackle.
Mr. McGlinchey?
Yeah, and I thought, and Jason Light has gone on record on Buccaneers.com, of all platforms, that he said you get more information from players about guys who they play against than you ever will about them. And Bill Belichick is notorious for bringing in players to get in their minds. He has no desire to draft these guys. So they brought this McGlinchey in, the Bucks did, for one of their private visits. And I wrote a story at the time on JoeBucksFan.com. This is weird. And I speculated the only reason he came in is because he has faced Bradley Chubb and Harold Landry. And using what Jason Light said on Buccaneers.com, I connected the dots. Like, okay, he's trying to figure out what's good and what's not good about Chubb, about Harold Landry. Well, now it turns out Damar Dotson, who said on your very podcast back in February, he was fully cleared and green-lighted by the team doctors to resume football activities, he's got knee surgery. Your thoughts?
I think Lee's point in the beginning was correct, Steve. It was more of an informational thing. With McGlinchey, he can talk about Chubb. He can talk about Nelson with great clarity and depth. I'll say this. He's not going to be taken by the Bucks if they stay at number 7. It's not going to be McGlinchey. He's not worth the 7th pick from everything I read. He's not worth it. it's not a value. If somehow they trade back late in the first round or whatever and they end up with McGlinchey, I think it's safe to say 100%, Steve, and not too many things can we say 100%. if McGlinchey's on the Buck roster, he's going to be playing right tackle. He's not going to be playing left tackle. And by that, I mean there is zero intentions of replacing Donovan Smith from this coaching staff. They got a lot of faith in Donovan Smith. Some Buck fans may question that. But the message is strong, and it's unwavering. We think Donovan Smith is going to be one of the best left tackles in football.
Ira, zero intentions of moving Ali Marpet from center. Zero intentions of Doug Martin not being the guy. Zero intentions all over the place. I get you, Ira, but come on. It's just the NFL. Things change. I don't think they're getting rid of Donovan Smith, but if they have a concern at right tackle, and you never know if they trade down, if McGlinchey's a guy that falls and they're sitting at where, who knows what. It's possible. And Jason Light, I know from talking to him, he likes to light a fire under guys with competition. If he thinks he's got a great tackle and he's willing, and it's, the board is looks McGlinchey, then you know what? Maybe he does it anyway. It puts a fire under Smith, and who knows what
Steve,
happens.
McGlinchey looks like a guy who's going top 20 for a team that's looking for a left tackle.
Gil Brandt says he's a top 10 pick. We talked about this.
But he's not going to be a seventh pick for the Bucs.
No, he's not, and the fans would riot, which, you know, that's always fun, though.
You know, DeSean Jackson was kind of the center of attention today.
Well, before that, Ira,
here he is.
Guys, here he is. Here is our special guest. This is pretty cool, Ira. Cam Brait, the Buccaneers tight end. Everybody knows who he is. Your breakfast date from months ago, that bizarre story you told us. We don't have to rehash that.
You mean
that
when he said,
thing.
You live up here, Calvin? This is Nowheresville, baby.
Didn't you say you picked up the check? Wasn't that how it went down?
I believe I did.
There you go. You owe him some eggs, Cam. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I got to ask, you know, you signed the big contract, you had your news conference, but when does that lottery ticket that you signed, that you worked so hard for, when does that sort of kick in? 2 days later, a week later, how does that work? You know, how did you feel about all that?
I mean, it was really cool. It was just a whirlwind couple days there. Came back for a couple days to do the press conference and everything. Then I went back home to Chicago. You know, to be honest, not a lot has changed. Didn't make any big purchases or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm still the same guy, still the same chip on my shoulder. Yeah, it's pretty much same story.
I got
for me.
You. No Rolex to practice, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Not this year.
No DeSean Jackson swag, nothing like that.
I don't think so. Not yet.
You know, just about a year ago, it's draft night for the Bucs, and you look at back now, and they draft a tight end, O.J. Mm-hmm. Howard. What really was going through your head at that point when, crap, it's my contract year and the Bucs just drafted O.J. Howard?
Yeah, I was watching it. I had I was at the Bucs draft party, and I had just gotten back home by the time the Bucs were making the pick. You know, with the way it was playing out, you know, I pretty much thought we were going to draft O.J. at that point. You know, he slipped a little further than most people thought. You know, so there wasn't any shock or anything like that. You know, obviously the first reaction, I was like, oh, shoot, you know, there goes half my reps. But, you know, Coach Cutter called me right away, and, you know, he just, you know, wanted to tell me that there was still going to be a spot for me on the offense and everything. And, you know, I got to know OJ really well last year. He's just an awesome kid, you know, works really hard, you know, pays attention. His heart's always in the right place. So, you know, me and OJ have a really good relationship, and, you know, I think we're going to work pretty well together, hopefully for the next 5 or 6 years.
So Coach calls you that night, or he waits a day, or how does
no
that
he
go
called
down?
Me pretty much instantly. It was within 30 seconds of the draft pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
And last one for me before we turn it over to the Sage. We call him the Sage of Tampa Bay sports.
I love that.
It looks like a Sage.
That's
right?
Cool. Yeah,
it looks like the Sage.
Yeah,
he's got the hair and the stature.
This means I'm old.
The Cadillac polo shirt.
It means you're cool and you're old, I
there
think.
You go.
Yeah, you know, you've said before, Cam, that it's a challenge for you to keep weight on,
mm-hmm.
and to sort of build that blocking tight end body. How's that going for you? Have you changed anything? And do you feel like there's a day is going to come where the league respects your blocking as much as your pass catching?
Yeah, hopefully pretty soon. You know, I definitely think I've made some strides there in the past couple of years. You know, wasn't really natural for me to do that. Hadn't really been asked to do that my whole career up to, you know, up to getting in the NFL. You know, I'm a little bit old now. I'm 26, so metabolism has slowed down a little bit. So that's helped me out. I don't have to quite eat till I feel like I'm throwing up, you know, every meal, which is good.
Nice.
Cam, you probably don't remember this because you were digging into those eggs pretty good that morning. But I think I said something about your contract or something, and you told me, and it's been a couple of months, but you said, I got a good feeling about this, all right? Uh-huh. I'm not too worried about it. Mm-hmm. So you were optimistic back then, right?
Yep. We had been talking for a little bit at that point, and You never really know how it's going to play out, but you know, I was hopeful more than anything, and I'm just happy the way it worked out.
Cam, I want to talk a little bit about the red zone. You know, I was doing some research, original research. I was shocked at this, and you're a numbers guy too, but you know, first downs, all right, it's not as important as points, obviously, but the Bucs were like second in the league to New England. Second. Mm-hmm. You move the ball very, very well between the 20s, which mm-hmm. is only adds to the frustration, you know, that you scored 20 points a game, which, you know, with these weapons, Cam, you probably think you can do better than that. Now, look, you and Howard split 12 touchdowns. I mean, that's very good production at a tight end. How important is it overall to increase the efficiency in the red zone going into a new year?
That's huge. And, you know, it was also huge for us last year, too. We had a major point of emphasis last year working on the red zone. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't click for us. And, you know, I think something that will really help us out is, you know, really establishing the run game, especially down there. You know, the field compresses quite a bit, so the windows are pretty tight in the pass game. So if you look at the offenses that are really successful in the red zone, it's the offenses that can run the ball on first and second down. So, you know, definitely I think that's going to be our mindset moving forward, is just really getting that ground game going, especially down there close.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you certainly don't lack for weapons, Cam. Overall, the array of targets for Jameis Winston is quite impressive.
Right, absolutely. You know, another year for OJ in this offense will be huge. I think that's the biggest jump players make, is that first and second year. So, you know, he missed a couple games there at the end, so getting him back healthy, it's going to be huge for us. And, you know, another year with Jameis and Deshaun working together, hopefully get those two on the same page a little more this year. And, you know, I think our offense can do really big things.
And the way Godwin came around, Cam.
He's awesome. I think Chris is amazing. He's still so young. I think he's 21, maybe just turned 22. But he's going to be an awesome player for us. Everything you ask him to do, he does it. You know, all the dirty work blocking on offense. He sprung a bunch of runs for us just by, you know, being physical, blocking a linebacker, even blocking a DN. And special teams, he was awesome as a gunner too. So, you know, I think the future is really bright for Chris.
And we haven't talked about the number one target is Mike Evans, who just got paid like you did. And Mike should be, in theory, a heck of a red zone threat.
Yeah.
Cam.
Yep. You know, it's, you know, on paper, like you said, we do have a lot of weapons down there in the red zone. And, you know, it is frustrating when we don't score the points. You know, you have to settle for field goals and not get touchdowns.
Field goals will get you beat, right, Cam?
Absolutely. And, especially when you're not making field goals. That really gets you beat.
And you got a new kicker this year.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Chandler, too. So, you know, Mike, he's an awesome receiver. Super physical. You know, he's going to go up and compete for the ball. You know, when we get close down there, just weren't making those connections like we had in the past. You know, that was really the first time last year is when, you know, Mike and Jameis didn't have that same chemistry down there inside the 5 or 10 yard line on those fades. So hopefully get that going again. That'll help us out too.
Godly.
Steve kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but when you did watch the draft, you saw the Bucs picked OJ. And I imagine just human nature, you, even though you should have been in a Pro Bowl a couple years ago, you're undrafted free agent. And everybody, players, it's a business. Well, the team just invested in a, what pick, 16th pick overall?
Not
big
19th.
Investment.
Yeah, yeah.
Big investment. But what did that mean that Cutter called you so quickly?
Oh, that was huge. I think if I didn't have that, it would have been a pretty tough night. You know, just would have been questioning a lot of things. You know, I didn't fault the team at all for drafting OJ. I was expecting it, you know, at that point for sure.
He didn't give you time to pout.
No, absolutely not. No, so that was huge for me. And, you know, Coach Cutter called me, Coach Steele called me, and, you know, this really reassured me that, you know, we drafted the best player that we could get, which is, you know, what every team should do at that point. And, you know, I didn't take it personally at all. You know, I knew what kind of talent he was, and, you know, I knew that, you know, us together, we didn't really have the same game, so we could coexist for sure in this offense together.
Now, I don't know if you're aware of who Pat Kerwin is. You may have even mm-hmm. been on a show. Okay. Well, He came down here for one training camp, right, because they do these training camp tours. And he came down here. He relayed this story on one of his shows. He was watching Jameis toward the end of practice and how you guys had chemistry. Cutter always talks about that. You guys clicked right away. And Pat Kerwin was saying that you have chemistry. I guess O.J. Howard was asking Jameis something. And Jameis said, watch Cam Brate. Whatever he does, you should do. Matter of fact, you should talk to him. And Kerwin said he could see that both you and OJ kind of formed a bond that, yeah, OJ started doing what you were doing and went mm-hmm. to you. And Kerwin thought that was so fantastic for OJ and for you and James as well. But was there anything, you know, when OJ came in, like, I'm going to be his mentor, or did he come to you? How did you guys mesh when he came on board?
So, I mean, we clicked right away. You know, it could be could have been like an awkward situation, you know. He's coming as a first round pick. You know, I really had to like fight my way to to the top, and then once I got there, you know, we drafted another tight end first. So, but I had such great guys, you know, kind of helped me along the way, and Brandon Myers and Luke Stocker. You know, I never thought I would be in a position to, you know, help out a younger guy like they did for me. I kind of went on my way to try to make sure, you know, OJ felt, you know, comfortable, you know, that I didn't view him as like a threat or anything like that. Just trying to teach him, you know, not only about football, but just different little tips that could help him out throughout the season and just adjusting from college to the NFL. So just trying to be a good role model, I guess, for him.
Yeah. What's it mean to you that you hear that your quarterback was telling OJ, whatever he does, you do?
Yeah, I mean, he says that to all the tight ends. I mean, that's good. I try to do things the right way. You know, it took a lot of reps, a lot of years of practice, you know, try to get the routes down exactly the way he wants them. So, you know, just having done so much work together in the past couple of years, especially on those red zone routes, we kind of just work together, try to figure out the best way to attack different defenses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he feels that if I'm teaching those guys the way that I'm seeing things, that hopefully, you know, their chemistry can build as well. So,
what's your feelings about Todd Monk and Cam getting an enhanced role? How will that help this franchise?
I think it's great. I love Coach Monk. I think all the guys do. He keeps things light. Really, really knows football. I think just getting him around, getting him to the different rooms on offense is going to be huge for the guys. I mean, he's the OC. He has such a great feel for our offense, and he's just got a really good way of connecting with the players. So,
Jameis said his honesty is very infectious. It is something you like,
right?
As a player.
Yeah, absolutely. He's hilarious. So, especially during like training camp, having him going from meeting to meeting throughout the day, you know, getting one-on-one time more with the players, I think it's going to be great for the guys.
Does he have high standards, Cam?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, he'll be the first one to tell us, you know, that was a really crappy practice. He'll probably put it a little differently than that.
A little more
PG-13. Yeah, but. No, he's awesome. He holds us to a really high standard, which is, I mean, what you want as players. You want to be held to a high standard. You want to be coached up. And I think getting Coach Monk, you know, more involved with the different groups on offense is going to be good for us.
Specifically Jameis and DeSean Jackson, a lot has been made that they have to improve their chemistry. You know, it's a vague term, but oh well. And, of course, Jameis was asked about that earlier today when he was at the podium. And Jameis said, it's not a whole lot different, if it's different at all, then when after his rookie year, he didn't have much chemistry with Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. And obviously they improved. They worked more in the offseason. They improved. Is there something to that, what Jameis is saying?
Absolutely. I mean, the only way to get chemistry really is by getting reps with people. You know, every once in a while you'll just click right away with someone. But, you know, what DeSean brings to an offense is he's really good at taking the top off. He's a huge home run threat for us. And, you know, last year we really didn't get too many of those downfield plays. And those are the hardest ones to make, really. It's all about timing. It's all about trust and chemistry. So hopefully with another year under our belt, with however many more reps we're going to get in the spring and training camp together, that those two are really going to click and hit on some of those deep balls this year.
Did you work out with Jameis at all this offseason?
Yep. I went down to Texas A&M for a week.
Okay.
You know, Mike, Jameis, Bobo was out there, Devin.
Oh, Bobo was out there.
Yeah, Bobo was out there too. So, yeah, it was an awesome time. It was tough work for sure. it was pretty much just working from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. And it was awesome, though. You know, they treated us really well. The facilities are pretty nice. I'll say probably a little better than Harvard's. but, yeah, it was a fun week.
The reason why I asked you that was DeSean Jackson was saying that he could tell Jameis is better because he's healthy. Did you get the same perception?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Jameis, he looked awesome. You know, he had zip on his balls. You know, he was really, really airing them out too to Mike, Bobo, Devin. He was really working on the deep ball as well. And you know, I thought he looked great.
So, who sets the workout when you have like 8 hours? Is somebody at A&M sort of build the workout for you, or Jameis comes in and says, "This is our schedule"? How does that work?
So, I had really low expectations. I had no idea what to expect. You know, Jameis was just like, "Hey, what airport are you flying out of?" All right, got you. And he sent us our flight details. I show up, and you know, he rented out this nice house for us to all stay at.
Nice.
He had a schedule every single day, you know, hourly, what we were going to be doing,
wow,
where we were going to be at. So I was really impressed. You know, I really did have low expectations, and it definitely exceeded them.
Yeah, I mean, I think most fans think it's like, all right, well, we'll meet at the field at noon, right, and we'll play for a couple hours, then we'll get some food. I know a place, and that's how it – but this was a full
Genesis. Oh, we were – yeah. Wow. We were together all day. Yeah, it was very structured, very organized.
Did wow. anything A&M coaches – were they there? Did they help you guys at all?
Yeah. You know, we saw the coaches around. We checked out some of their practices and mm-hmm. walked around their facilities and everything. So, yeah, it was cool getting to meet a lot of those guys and get an inside look at Texas A&M football this year.
Did Jimbo Fisher yell at you?
He didn't yell at me. I was kind of scared because I've seen him on TV. But, no, he was a really nice guy. Him and Jameis get along really well. So that was cool to see.
I got two quick ones for you before I'm going to wrap it up. We know you got to get back to work. We don't want to get you in trouble around here. JPP, you've played against him a couple of times. What does mm-hmm. the film look like when you have to figure out how to block this guy?
Man, today in meetings, he, you know, we were going through introductions and of the new players, and he raised his arm up, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible blocking him, because his arm just kept going higher and higher. But yeah, he's a freak, man. Just super long, very strong at the point of attack. You know, just relentless motor. Just really, really physically gifted. And, you know, those guys, you're going to have to put a tight end to chip him, help out the tackle. You know, you're going to have to double team him in the run game. So getting a guy like that is definitely going to be huge for our defense. It's going to really stink for us, though, in training camp.
And last one, Cam. Schedule comes out this week. It's like Christmas for most of the fans. They can't mm-hmm. wait. You've got a road game in Chicago, your right. hometown, on the schedule. Are you just dying for that to be opening day? What's your
I would prefer that one to definitely be at the beginning of the season. You know, I think I'm going to be hit up for a lot of ticket requests. So hopefully not opening week. I think that might be a little crazy.
More expensive.
Right. So, you know, I'm thinking sweet spots like early October for that one.
Last one for me. Cam, you said expectations. Let's broaden that out. This team's not so much on the national radar as it was last year. No Hard Knocks. You're not coming off 9-7. Could being under the radar work to this team's advantage, Cam?
Absolutely. You know, that's the way I prefer it. You know, under the radar. You know, last year was...
A lot of hype,
you know, the Hard Knocks, everything. And, you know, no one was more disappointed in the season than we were. You know, that was definitely the most frustrating season I've ever had, being a part of a team, you know, individually, whatever. It was just, it wasn't fun, you know. And, you know, when you're not winning games, it's not going to be fun. So, you know, I think it was kind of a reality check for a lot of guys in the building. And, you know, we learned a lot from it. So hopefully we can take what we learned and, you know, kind of sneak up on people this year.
My last question is, and I'm not asking you, Cam, to set loose some confidential material here, but you know, you mentioned how JPP,
but feel free, players, feel free,
but feel free, but I don't want to get you in trouble either. You have to run laps or something for what you say. But you know, you mentioned how JPP, they were introducing the new players. I'm sure, like the rest of your teammates, you were pretty excited when Jason Light was able to pull off that trade. Mm-hmm. When JPP came in, I got the impression that he was sort of saying, you know, I have some responsibility to help get this team over the hump. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to turn things around here. What kind of message, or did he have a message to the team, or did he have a chat with the team, or tell me about any kind of vibe that the team got from him being here today?
You know, first day, guys are going to be excited, but you know, it was cool today. You know, every player got introduced, all the new players, and you know, I think every single one of those guys is going to help us out. You know, a lot of those guys are really physical interior players, so I think that's definitely the message. You know, we're going to get big, we're going to get nasty up front, and you know, that's the way a lot of teams win games in the NFL. So, you know, guys are excited, especially, you know, being our first day, but you know, it's a new year for us, for everyone here. So, you know, expectations are definitely high for us.
Quick follow up. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody talks about, and when I say everybody, it's like the message the team has to the fans. Mm-hmm. We're going to get nastier. We brought guys in who are nasty. Why was there not nasty edge last year?
Great question. If I knew the answer, yeah, that would be
You'd have more money, huh?
Exactly. But, you know, it's not like we didn't really have that last year. It's just everything kind of just snowballed. Okay. You know, it just – we were play away in this game and, you know, it just – every single game, something different kind of happened, and it was almost like we just couldn't get a grasp. Okay. We were just falling, couldn't get a grasp, couldn't pull ourselves out. So,
quicksand.
Exactly. So it's a clean slate this year, which is all we can ask for, so hopefully we can make the most of it.
So there you go. Cameron Brate, Ira Kaufman Podcast. Cam, I hope this was a moving, life-changing experience for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Never forget it.
Ira, how'd you enjoy that, huh? Cam Brate sitting down with us 20 minutes, entertaining the fans.
Last time I talked to him, he had a farmer's omelet in front of him, scarfing up the the spinach.
As opposed to a farmer's almanac? A
farmer's almanac. I'm over there, you know, I got the bacon strips are falling all into my coffee over there, and then he's got alfalfa sprouts and a white egg omelet over there. That's why Cameron Brake, and why I'm a dumpy sports writer. It's right there.
No crepes?
No crepes, my friend. No. And I did pick up the check. You know, and today, and he came in, you know, for our podcast, coming from lunch at the Buck Commissary, which is a 5-star commissary.
He brings you nothing.
And he brings me nothing. He could have smuggled in a boiled egg or something, you know, tossed it to me like a potato. Nothing. But you know what? From a content standpoint, the guy is a fabulous guest.
And when I brought up the fact that you paid for breakfast... All right, the newest $18 million guaranteed or so for Buccaneer. I don't know if it's that much, 12 or something
paid,
like that.
No, it was before he got paid.
Did he offer you a 20 this morning?
No rebate. What is that?
No rebate.
Nothing.
Not even a rain check. Ira, give me a nugget, your number one takeaway from the interview.
Brate loves the fact that the Bucs are under the radar. There's no question they're under the radar. You know, look, Buc fans read NFL.com. Buc fans look at, NFL Network. Good, you know, with your girl Kay Adams over there, Lee.
And Buccaneers.com,
they're
all
over.
And
not a lot of people are talking about the Bucs. No. It's a big contrast from last year. And a lot of it is, let's be honest, they're not coming off a 9-7 season. When they were 9-7, that's the one where the pundits, you know, look at those teams that win 8 or 9 games that are ready to take that next jump into the playoffs. And that was the Bucs last year. A lot of people thought the Bucs were going to win the NFC South. Ooh. Instead, they took their usual spot as doormats. Not a lot of talk about the Bucs. No hard knocks. And Brate loves it. He loves it because I think if you read between the lines and listen between the lines, he admits they didn't handle it well last year.
I kind of get the same impression.
They didn't handle it, Lee. A young team, they started believing their own hype. Hey, we won 9 games. We're going to win 11 next year. Jameis got another year under his belt. It didn't happen, Lee. He described it as quicksand because you gave him that word and he jumped on it.
Yeah. You know who else would be very, very happy about no hard knocks, and the one guy who was anti-hard knocks wanted absolutely nothing to do with it was Lavonnie David. And I bet that's another guy that's, like, really happy that...
Lavonnie had no use for that.
None at all. I mean, he bristled at it. Lavonnie's a great guy, and I've never seen him get agitated until someone asked him about hard knocks. He wanted nothing to do with it.
And I think Lavonnie's attitude, and I think he spoke for more than just himself, was, we haven't done anything yet. This team hasn't done anything yet. What have we done? We didn't make the playoffs at 9-7. Well, we haven't made the playoffs since I've become a Buccaneer. We don't deserve the hype until we do something, and I think that's a healthy attitude.
Sure, it's an interesting takeaway. A quick nugget on David. At the time, I had a little running joke with him last summer. I had asked him if he planned to be on Hard Knocks, and he said, no, I'm going to hide. They'll never catch me. And they didn't. He never appeared on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he did. Remember that one scene? It was so set up. It was so scripted. They had him, Doug Martin, Jameis, Gerald McCoy, like a Sopranos type sit down, and they talked about what they wanted to do when their careers were over with, or what they would have been.
Ah, I stand corrected. Yeah, he was at the dinner.
But that was the only time.
Yeah. And Levante played the role of Paulie Walnuts. That was outstanding.
Lee's right. It was at a fancy restaurant. You saw him at the table.
Who picked up that check?
10 seconds. I don't
HBO.
Wasn't me, baby.
Hopefully not you.
Anyway, I want to talk to DeSean Jackson, and you interrupted me over there.
Well, we had a guest. Ira, calm down.
Yeah, he had his own schedule.
I'll say that about regarding Cameron.
What was your takeaway?
One nugget. Great. There's a lot in there. I hope everybody rewinds, listens to it again. Great
good stuff.
Good stuff. Jason Pierre-Paul was my takeaway because you know what Brate really essentially was sitting there saying is you got to prepare to play against this guy. And this guy is so unique that he's special and you got to prep.
You have when, to game plan.
You think that was going on with Ryan Russell last year? Started 7 games for the Bucs.
Well
he's,
said.
He's
well
unemployed.
Said. Well said.
Robert Ayers.
That's the distinction of an outstanding player. You have to game plan
right.
for him.
So now that's our guy.
In practice.
And you know what? If you boil it all down, here we sit in mid-April. Jason Pierre-Paul being on this team is at the core of Bucs fans' optimism that, wow, they finally fixed this black hole and we got some hope here. But go ahead.
And Lee, well, that last line by Brate was beautiful. You know, he's going to really help us this fall, but he's going to be hell to pay this summer for us in training camp. That's a beautiful
good.
Thing.
What
good.
What I thought was interesting, and maybe I'm reading way too much into it, everybody talks about, and I'll repeat myself, everybody talks about nasty edge. They're bringing these guys in that are nasty. And Brate even talked about it. And I asked him, well, why weren't you guys nasty last year? And he kind of stopped himself. Yeah. Like he wanted to say something, but he didn't want to blow anybody up. You know, he didn't want to cut anybody's leg
that's
up.
That's a tough question to handle. Steve. Where was it last year?
It was fun timing by Lee because he asked me the last question, right? Usually the last question is like, Lee's like, what happened? It was great.
Why weren't you nasty last year?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, to me, that was the ultimate answer or the ultimate follow up.
Oh,
we need the nastiness. So it doesn't cost anything to be nasty. If I wanted to be nasty, I could spit in your face.
Steve,
right,
it goes to what we've been talking about for 3 months straight since the end of last season. Get physical, get nasty, get tougher, and I think Jason Light, to a large extent, has accomplished some of those goals, and we got the draft ahead of us.
Yeah, there is no answer.
I almost got the impression that he wanted to say, we had too many guys who were like newborn kittens last year.
Lee, what about that great line? Here's another tremendous takeaway from break. Within 30 seconds, in his mind, of the drafting of O.J. Howard, phone rang. 30 seconds, and I jumped in. I go, you didn't even have time to pout, right?
Yeah, that was
he goes,
a great line.
Absolutely right.
That was a great line.
I mean, that's a class move from Cutter.
Yeah, that spoke volumes. He called immediately because, we discussed it with Cam. If you're an undrafted free agent, even if you're coming off a hell of a good season, and a team drafts a guy 16th overall at your position, and your contract's up, you're like, oh, I'm gone.
Yeah. Right then and there, Brayton knew he was going to be taken care of in terms of a contract. Right then and there.
Class move by Cutter. I mean, maybe there's a little hyperbole by Brayton with the 30 seconds line, but maybe not. And even if it was 10 minutes later before the next pick or within the next pick.
It's Cutter in the war room. He's dealing with draft dynamics.
Now, it's impressive stuff.
And his position coach to call it as well. So
yeah, impressive stuff there.
What about what he said about Monken? You asked a question of Jameis, I think, about Monken, too. You got Monken on your mind over there, Steve. You want to know what impact this enhanced role was
going to
have?
I'm going to take Monken off the table, Ira, right now. I'm going to redirect you. You need redirection.
This is the second time in a minute and a half you're redirecting me.
Well, I'm taking you back to DeSean Jackson. He was the lead guy talking to us today. You had a vibe and a feeling. You started sharing it. Cam came in. What's the deal?
Well, Lee, a lot of positives about DeSean Jackson. I think he's proud that he kept his cool last year when it would have been easy to get very frustrated. He's got 10 years invested in this league, building a reputation as one of the great deep threats in the National Football League. We didn't see it last year. That's frustrating. The team's losing. But you got to give him his props, Lee. He didn't lash out. He wasn't a diva. Some people thought, he's the epitome of a diva receiver. We didn't see that last year.
Obviously.
Now, Lee, I'm going to give you this flip side, and I want you to talk about this. I didn't get the overwhelming impression he's going to be in Tampa a lot during the next 2-3 months. Am I reading too much into it?
No, I don't think so.
Is that disappointing for Buck fans to think he's not going to be here every day working out with Winston?
Given what he said, yeah, a little bit. And everything that he said, the thing that jumped out at me was it took him years to develop. His words, not mine. Took him years, that's the key word, years, to develop chemistry with Kirk Cousins. That, like, whoa. Because he did have chemistry with Kirk Cousins. It took me years. So that jumped out at me. So related to your question, if you guys are building chemistry, and if it takes that long, keep going. Don't interrupt. But obviously, he had family issues. And that's not a negative, it's positive. He probably has kids doing something. So I can understand that. But, you want to keep that camaraderie going if you're starting to build it.
But Steve, he talked about the precision, and I think that's the proper word, the precision that is required, not on an 8-yard slant, but to throw a 48-yard fly pattern down the sidelines in stride and hit that guy. He said sometimes you're long, sometimes you're short, sometimes you're off base. Steve, we talked about on this podcast, because I'm crazy about these interference calls, the balls weren't close enough to DeSean to get the interference calls. That's something that has to be remedied.
Just to go to answer your question, I think a little bit more on a more granular level.
Ooh, granular.
Yeah, he's starting to get on the vocabulary bandwagon here.
Let's say this. There are 10 OTA days. You get the feeling that DeSean Jackson, based on the way he answered questions today.
And didn't answer them
and the angles he took. He'll be here for 3 or 4. So figure he's going to miss 6 or 7 OTA days. Now, your average fan thinks that sucks. And frankly, it does.
It's voluntary.
But the fans don't care. The Glazers cutting the $11 million a year checks. They would probably prefer that he be here. But, let's look at it. So that's, call it 12 hours of hard precision work with Jameis. 10 hours or so. Can they make that up if Jameis flies to California and hangs out with DeSean Jackson? Some of that's going to be on Jameis this year. You get the feeling to to push the issue out in L.A. or whatever.
And you got training camp.
But it's disappointing. Yeah. I know a lot of fans are disappointing. If you go back, and I'm going to be pulling this up, in January 1st when Jameis said goodbye to the local media, he mentioned that OTA days were going to be critical with DeSean Jackson. And you know what? I don't think he's going to get his wish.
Another thing that Jackson said that jumped out at me, said he could tell James's arm is stronger because he's healthy. So the people that poo-poo the shoulder, they shouldn't be poo-pooing it.
Steve Ali Marpet says, no problem moving from center to guard. No problem moving from right guard to left guard. You know, it begs one question, Steve, and this is we'll talk about it more because we got still 10 days for the draft. What if they end up drafting Nelson? Is Marpet still playing the left side? I thought Nelson plays left guard. You're going to move Nelson, or are you going to move Marpet back to his natural position? I'm not sure Marpet's going to play left guard this year.
There's two things I know, Ira. One, never believe an O-line coach in this building who says continuity is important. And two, there's a draft party coming up where you, Ira,
beautiful,
are going to be there at the draft party. Buffalo Wild Wings, Miller Lite, Bucks Uncensored draft party. It's our draft party.
I'm not seen down in South Tampa too often, Steve. You know, they don't let me in that neighborhood too often. but I'm going to crash.
And it all kicks off 6 o'clock on first night of the draft. $20 all-you-can-eat buffet. It's going to run all the way up till midnight, indoors, outdoors.
You're talking about tents over there? And
2,400 square foot tent outside, music, LED screens outside, hardcore football scene inside. Craziness. You'll be there, and then they do it all again Friday, but not the buffet on Friday and not outside. It'll be more of a subdued 350 lunatics inside on Friday.
Let's hope the schedule comes out, guys, before we before we do our Thursday podcast.
I hope
it's
so
possible.
I hope
it's
so
possible, because then and Steve, if that schedule comes out before the next podcast, that's going to have a big impact on Fan Retreat. And our guy who's very involved, can't wait to get this thing to get it going.
If anybody wants to know, like to be tipped off, Peter King, who, although he didn't invoke Howard Katz's name, Howard Katz oversees the schedule. He does TV stuff with the NFL. I know him and Peter King, they know each other. Peter King wrote Monday morning, in his Monday morning quarterback column, he expects the schedule to be out Thursday.
Sean's chomping at the bit, Steve. Chomping at the bit.
We all are. Every fan is. And you know, it's always the week before the draft. It's just that they like to keep people in suspense, keep people like us talking about it. All right, Ira, you know what I can tell? I can tell that the good people, the good Bucks fans, are saying, man, ever since Cameron Brate left, this has been a letdown. So we're getting out of here. I'm just teasing you.
What's your expectations?
Sage Podcast. Keep subscribing. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. Ira, last word.
Be back later in the week with more Buck fodder. We don't stop, Lee. There's no offseason.
The 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is coming up fast, April 26th and 27th. It's a two-night event, but that first night, it's going to be wild. We've got a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, 2,500 square-foot tent outside, a huge HD LED screen to show the draft, and a DJ pumping tunes all night to keep the party going all night long. We will have giveaways sporadically throughout the night and a major announcement. If you're a Bucks fan, you are going to want to be in attendance for this big announcement we will have that Thursday night. Again, two-night event. It's April 26th and 27th at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa off of Southdale Mabry. Join me, Justin Pulowski, the commish, for the 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And speak softly and carry that big mother boom, you dump a stick.